If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the 9th chapter of Matthew. And as you're turning there, let me introduce today's message to you. Many cases we see in the church, in the body of Christ, a lot of people that I would call the walking wounded. Here's what's happened. Here's what's happened over the years. People come to Jesus, and Jesus saves them. You believe that? You come to Him with faith and trust. He comes into your life. He forgives you of your sin. He comes into you, makes you a new person. He changes you. He gives you His Holy Spirit, who baptizes you in Himself. And you can be filled on a daily basis. But He begins a process in our lives, a process that is called sanctification. Now, there's a sense in which we as believers, immediately, as soon as Jesus comes into our lives, there is faith, for by grace you're saved through faith, Ephesians 2. As soon as that happens, you are made holy. That's what the word sanctification means, to make holy. They're positionally, you are made holy. That is, you're saved. You will never be lost. You are part of His family. That transaction takes place immediately. It happens. But then there is a sense in which practically He begins the work of conforming you to the image of Christ so that you can grow in Him. That's what this whole growth process is about. In Christ. We think that the things that come into our lives are distractions, are things that would hinder us. But it is those very circumstances, those very things that in some cases are the most aggravating things in our lives that God will use to grow us into His image, to fashion us, to move us closer to Him. So each day He's chiseling away at us to conform us to the image of Christ. Well, so if that's true about that, then it's true about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that comes to a person's life when you are forgiven of all your sin, when Jesus comes in, past, present, and future. Now, not as a license. Not so that you can go out and do whatever you want to do with no recourse to that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the fact that he has forgiven you positionally. But many of us have not come into agreement with His forgiveness. We look back into our own lives and there are things where Jesus has forgiven us, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. There are people in our lives that have done things against us. Things that are very memorable to us. Boy, if I ask you to stand up right now, there'd be a dozen of you that could immediately, if you wouldn't, I'm not asking for you to share the intimate details of your life, but we could immediately, because when I said that about past things in your life, some of you, it was like you hit a funny bone. I mean, you immediately got a jolt. You knew what I was talking about. Immediately. Things that happened. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, before we get to the Matthew passage, I want to read this. It says, verse 31, 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. So he talks about this reciprocal relationship of forgiveness in our lives. We've been forgiven by Jesus, therefore we need to be forgiving of others. Now, today's message is not a complicated one, but I want to let you know right now, As soon as the word forgiveness came out of my mouth, the evil one, it perked up his ears, because he does not want you to hear this message, because this is a life-changing message. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, we read the story of the paralytic who was healed. Now, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat, on a bed. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven you." Whew. Who can say that? And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." Why are they thinking that he blasphemed? Because he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed, and walk?" Which one's easier? "And so, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," what is he about to do? He turns to the paralytic and he says, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And what did the paralytic do? He got up, picked up his bed, and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Next verse goes into another story, but we need to read it because it's important. Jesus went on from there, saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Someone else that gets up out of something. You see this? And see, here's a man who got up out of a profession where he needed forgiveness to get up out of. You have a paralytic that gets up out of being paralyzed and walks. You have a tax collector that gets up out of his sin of all the people he'd taken advantage of, and he walks. He walks in freedom. Now, I say to you today that the Western Church is in bondage. And one of the key issues we're in bondage is over this issue of forgiveness. Some of us have showed up here today with a greater belief in the possibility of physical healing than the possibility of healing that would come to the inner man through forgiveness. Our God's still in miracle working business, and he can do either one. And Jesus showed for the paralytic, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk. Question at the end of this day will not be, can he, but rather, will you? You got it? Man who Jesus forgave and healed had sinned against Jesus. He had sinned against God. And he did not deserve to be forgiven or healed. So let's take that out of play. Who deserves to be forgiven or healed? When it comes right down to it. Who deserves it? No, not one. It's because of God's grace and mercy for us that he brings that to us. Yet Jesus showed his great love, his great mercy to this man. He gave us this example to follow. I contend today that lack of forgiveness in our lives has a chokehold on our spiritual lives. It's a gigantic blockade for further growth. Because as long as those chains of unforgiveness are there, we can go no further. Because we're not acting out of faith. I'm talking about things like a person who wronged you. And Jesus is calling on you to forgive them. So, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. We're going to pray it out loud. If you'd like to go ahead and read ahead to make sure it's something that you won't be uncomfortable with praying out loud, okay? Go ahead and read. I'll give you a minute. Now, I know in our tradition, we're not comfortable and have not been comfortable with written out prescribed prayers, but let's put our tradition aside for a moment, okay? I think this one will be okay. Let's pray together, okay? We can pray out loud. You can keep your eyes open. And I hope when you're praying on Abercorn that you're keeping your eyes open. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, come on, say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many ways you have forgiven me. I confess that I have not always extended the same forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Instead, I have held on to my anger, bitterness, and resentment toward them. Please bring to my mind all the people that I need to forgive in order that I may do so this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I can see the lights just popping right now. Because God is immediately answering that prayer right now. Now, as you listen to the points of this message, and I'm going to go through them quickly, take note of the people that God brings to your mind. And don't try to look up all the scriptures that I'm going to throw at you, because I'm going to throw a bunch of them at you. You can just write them down. Okay? You can look them up later. Just trust me that I'm reading it correctly. Okay. First point I want you to see this morning as we talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is based upon what Jesus has already accomplished and offered to us. Now, how can I say that? Well, based on Colossians 2:13, it says, "You were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive through Christ. He forgave all of your sins." That's what He did through His death, burial, and resurrection. He forgave us of our sin. Ephesians 1:7 says this, "He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. As the blood is being poured out there on Mount Calvary, the blood is dripping down that cross. That blood was for the forgiveness of our sin." Book of Hebrews says, "For apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sin." Do you see it? Do you see how forgiveness is tied in to the shed blood of Jesus? And then 1 John 1:9. Now that's all about, those are salvation issues. Now we go to 1 John 1:9, and it's a growth issue, a sanctification issue. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is talking about the relationship that a Christian should have about confessing. Confessing means you're agreeing with God. You're regularly agreeing, "I have sinned." And then you're claiming His forgiveness. Do you see that regularly? And He is rooting out that sin. That sin is a practice in our lives. So, forgiveness is based upon what Jesus already accomplished and what He offers to us as a gift. He doesn't say, I'm going to wait until you deserve it. Who would be saved? Not a person. All right, secondly, Satan uses bitterness to keep us in bondage. Would you agree with that? Old bitterness to keep you locked up, to keep you hemmed in. Oh, I can't continue to do that. You start to grow in your Christian life, and what does Satan do? He brings up those old memories, doesn't he? To drag you back. And that bitterness, that's why I read this Ephesians passage at the first. The rage, the bitterness, the anger, those old feelings that he brings back. Like I told you, I've quoted to you many times. My grandmother telling me that day, I'm in my late 20s, and I'm sitting in her living room, and she's in her 80s. She's talking about something that happened to her when she was a little girl, and here it happened 70 something years ago, and it's like it's yesterday. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been there and got the t-shirt yourself. So that passage from Ephesians 4:31-32 is very appropriate. Then one from Mark 11:25. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Because what happens in prayer as we're open in intimacy before God and we're holding a grudge against someone else and we're holding on to unforgiveness with someone else, what happens to our prayers? They're diverted. We can no longer claim to be in that kind of intimacy because we're not taking care of the stuff God's revealed. So we need to confess our sin to Him, our own sin. Bitterness is an awful tool in the hand of the enemy. Some event, some person may have a stranglehold on your life. Satan will use it to nullify our witness. Eliminate us from effective service in the kingdom. Number three, forgiveness is a key to breakthrough. Forgiveness is the key to breakthrough. Psalm 130, verse 4. But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you, to have reverential awe of you. You see? Do you see the breakthrough aspect of forgiveness? The forgiveness, and it's a breakthrough. No longer do we have to remember, I've got this one, I got to worry about this one showing up. Am I going to run into them at Walmart or at the grocery store? Or I don't want to go to that meeting because so-and-so that years ago, I know some people, they don't go to their high school reunion because of junk that happened when they were in school. Get a witness on that? Okay. Acts 13:38 says, brothers, listen, in this man Jesus, there's forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness is a key to breakthrough. Forgiveness is foundational to freedom in Christ, to walking in freedom. Unless God forgave us in Christ, we'd have absolutely no possibility of relationship. Forgiveness is the doorway of a restoration of relationship with Him. Forgiveness is a doorway of relationship between us and mankind. Let me step on out here. There are some of you men and women that are having trouble with intimacy, even in your marriage, because you men, because of what some woman did to you years ago. Men and women, because of what some man did to you years ago. And there's unforgiveness. I have a friend from years ago. She had difficulty. It took her about a dozen years after she received Christ into her life before she could ever call God Father. Because she was abused sexually by her daddy. Is forgiveness important? Now, the world would say, well, she's got every right to feel that way. Well, yeah, that's exactly where Satan would want us to stay, in unforgiveness. But the lack of forgiveness is not hurting that other person. Not a bit. Our staying in bondage is not giving some victory. The true victory is when we sever those ties of unforgiveness and forgive. So we can be clean before Him. Number four, forgiveness is not forgetting. Now, in Hebrews 10:17, it says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Psalm 103:12 says, He has taken our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, people have wrongly interpreted these verses. God is omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He cannot and does not forget anything because He's God. What these verses mean simply is that He chooses not to hold the sin against us. He makes a choice. Which brings us to our next point. Forgiveness is a choice. Psalm 65:3 says, though our hearts are filled with sins, you forgive them all. God chose to forgive us. He acted on His choice. This is why He sent Jesus to the earth. Think about the whole rescue mission of Jesus coming for the forgiveness of mankind. Not because man deserved it. Not because man had earned it in any way. And it wasn't God sitting on His throne, sitting there saying, you know, I really want to forgive them. I want to. You see, and that's a cop-out in Christian circles too. Are you hearing me? I want to forgive. No! Forgive. Do it. Don't talk around it. Don't have the platitudes, the good words. Do it. Choose it. Choose to forgive. Number six, forgiveness is living with the consequences of another's sin. Romans 12:19 says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves, leave that to God. For it's written, I will take vengeance, I'll repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Leave it up to God. He has lived with the consequences of our sin when Jesus took upon Himself the sin of the entire world. There He was on the cross, and what were those words that came out of His mouth? My God, why have You, what? Forsaken me. At that point, literally, theologically, emotionally, spiritually, every way you can say it, the sin of the entire world was coming upon the Son of God. That transaction was taking place. The mission was being accomplished as the sin was coming upon Him. And the Scripture says that God cannot look upon sin. So, He is turning His back. He is utterly alone as He dies there on the cross. Do you see this? He chose knows that. He chose to die in Jerusalem. They did not trick him into coming into Jerusalem for this trap that was set for him. He chose to die. He chose to go to that cross. You know, I love that old song. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Do you get it? We too must live with the consequences of other people's sin. Because you can't go back and redo any of it, can you? But God can make it new. Number 7. Forgiveness means painful memories come to the surface. Ephesians 1:7 says this. He is so rich in kindness, they purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. Matthew 27:46 says, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those painful memories come to the surface. In fact, the painful memories don't come, it probably means that there's been no forgiveness. I'm not asking you today to sweep something under a rug and act as if it didn't hurt, it didn't damage you, it didn't damage your life, it didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about choosing to forgive someone else. Choosing to forgive them and live with the consequences of their sin. And allowing God to come and smother you with His restoration and His power and His strength. Finally, you can't wait until you feel like forgiven. Matthew 6:12 says this, and forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Where does that come from? Where? Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our sins just as we forgive those who have sinned against us. How quickly it rolls off the tongue. Pew. Luke 17:4 says, and even if he wrongs you 7 times a day, each time turns and asks forgiveness, forgive him. If you wait until you feel like forgiven, you'll never forgive. It's not about feeling a certain way. It's a choice of your will. Once you choose to forgive, Satan will have lost the power in that area of your life. Your forgiveness cuts him off. It cuts him at the knees, and he no longer has power. Then the healing of God can come. Listen, you're asking God to heal you of old memories. You're asking God to heal you of old stuff that happened in your life. That healing will not come until there is forgiveness. For healing follows forgiveness. Let Him do it. And He'll give you freedom. That's why we can quote with 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. You want freedom? You know what? What I've preached today isn't maybe. I've preached fact today, straight from the Word of God. You know what happened to our church if forgiveness happened? It so radically changed us. So I've delivered the message. Wasn't the message I was going to preach today, by the way. I had one on prayer, but the Lord said, this is the one for today. And by the way, just so I'll be obedient to what God told me to do, right as I was sitting down here a while ago, the Lord said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. And now I know why He gave me that word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When forgiveness comes, there is joy. And like old Granny Lee lived out on Highway 17 used to say, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every time you went to her house, that's what she'd say. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. She'd quote that passage from the New Testament. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Forgiveness. So now what are you going to do about it? We're going to open the altar if you'd like to come and pray here today. We have people around to pray with you if you'd like to do that. Or if you'd like to this afternoon, tonight, in the quietness of your home, deal with what you've heard today. Be serious about it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You today that You hear and answer the prayers of Your people. And Lord, right now I'm praying a prayer for forgiveness to be like a rushing, mighty wind to go through our congregation. People that have wronged us. Lord, some of us are holding a grudge against companies, against corporations, against family members, against, Lord, fill in the blank. And Lord, those are just the ones that are in my life. Lord, come. Come today. Let's receive from You. The altar's open. Jonathan, you and Shell, y'all come up here. We love these barns, don't we? We want to pray for them. Jonathan, tell them what y'all do.
We work at a boarding school in Southeast Kentucky with students from around the world, different parts of the U.S., Africa, Asia, every European every now and then. And that's what we do. We love the students.
Well, we want to pray for you. And if you'd like to come and lay hands on this family, come on. And when we get done praying, don't go anywhere. Just stay where you are because we got another prayer to do. The high chief is praying for you.
I know it.
Today.
Double high chief.
Yes, sir. He's high chief twice over now.
That's right.
All right. We anoint you, John, Michelle, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we agree in prayer as we send you out from us. They're going to be leaving this Wednesday to go back. We pray Your power, Your strength. Lord, I thank You that You have allowed our lives to intersect, Lord, for a long time. And Lord, for these relationships that have future in them, we bless You. And I ask You, God, that strength and power for this year in school, Lord, it's not just about teaching. It's not just about coaching. It's not just about being a house parent. It's about God's agenda. So I pray for a fresh filling, the power of the Holy Spirit. Stir up the gifts in them. Lord, if there are other spiritual gifts that you want to give to them, I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. I thank you for them. In your name we pray. Amen. For those, just stay right where you are. For those of you that don't know, I know these two heads look alike, so you know they belong together. But there's another head back here somewhere. Three Barnes kids that we love a lot, and their mama here, Dix, that we love so much, and we pray blessing on them. And okay, now we got the high chief up here, and the high chief, y'all, everybody just stay right where you are. Tell us what we're doing Friday, high chief.
Friday we'll be going to McRae. We're doing medical mission and evangelical mission over there. So we covet your prayers.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. We're going to anoint the high chief as our leader in this. And let's pray for him right now. I anoint you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for Kennedy and Leslie O'Carey and for the blessing they are to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them to us and us to them and for all that you had in store for us. And Lord, we've only just begun now.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you. I pray your power and strength. Lord, I thank you for the vision that you have given to Dr. O'Carey. I pray, God, that you'll continue to expand that in the world. As people come to Christ, as people are healed through medicine, through prayer, through the power of God. Lord, go before us, all the group that is going to be going on this trip. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And raise your hand if you're going to McRae on this project. Okay. All right, you see these people. All right, now, where's Dane? Come on up here, Dane. Dane's our director, our fearless leader for camp. He is the... Dane has luxury accommodations at camp.
That's true.
He sleeps by a refrigerator. He really does. Hold that. How many of you are going to camp? All right. Let's lay hands on one another because we need it. Lord, we anoint Dane in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love him so much. I thank you for him. I thank you for he and Kathy. Lord, I remember the first day that they walked into the BSU. And Lord, I'll never forget that day. And thank you for bringing them to us and for bringing the rest of their, or at least part of their family, his mom and dad. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, as we pray for Dane, that you'll anoint this camp with the power of God, that people will be saved this week, that people will be filled with the Spirit this week, that we'll see signs and wonders, that there will be a great time of family as you join us and knit us together. I thank you. Protect us, Lord, as we travel today. And Lord, protect us in everything at camp. For each one of the campers, I pray, Lord, great fun and great filling of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as they used to say on the show, hee-haw, we're through singing now. Goodbye.